is EMS Avenger 20 minutes to save the world. I think we can save the world by calling all EMS personnel paramedics, by raising the standards of paramedicine, by following some models we see out there in the world like Canada and the UK, even prescribing medications at the scene. And there's an organization that wants to push us towards just that, the American College of Paramedics, and Nick Newdell is behind that initiative to launch the American College of Paramedics. And Nick Newdell is also the president of the American Paramedic Association. So, Nick, my first question to you is, do you know the time and date that the International Association of Firefighters is going to bury you in the backyard?
Oh, Jimmy, that's a good one. We're actually not concerned about the International Association of Firefighters or any other union, because this is a professionally driven organization. So it's the same people who are members of the unions that are the paramedics that could help us build the future of paramedicine in the United States.
Can this even become a reality as long as EMS is married to firefighting?
Oh, see, that's a very good question. And one of the things that we've learned from talking with our peers in other countries is we really need to focus on our profession and separating that discussion from discussions related to the service delivery models. So whether a paramedic arrives in a fire truck or an ambulance, a helicopter, a boat, a spaceship, wherever a paramedic might be found in a vehicle, that's a different kind of conversation than what is a paramedic and what is paramedicine. So our focus is on the paramedicine aspect, and we'll let other organizations worry about how to get the paramedic to the person that needs a paramedic.
Well, we keep repeating the word paramedic over and over and over again, and that's a great segue into the thing that has gotten the most attention, at least on social media, is the intent to title all EMS personnel paramedics. So a current EMT basic would be a primary care paramedic, a current AEMT would be an intermediate care paramedic, and a current paramedic would be an advanced care paramedic. Why do you want to do that?
The way I think about it is, why wouldn't we want to do that? And it took me a long time to come to that kind of perspective. When I first became an EMT many, many years ago, I was very proud of that. I worked hard to then become, at the time, what was similar to an advanced EMT, and then worked hard to become a paramedic and was very proud of it. And if somebody called me an EMT accidentally, I was sure to correct them and tell them that I'm a paramedic. And over the years, I learned that the distinctions are not that important to people outside of us.
But so, they are very important to us. In fact, I have a lot of people that are saying that I worked hard for that title, paramedic. However, I've also seen kind of a correlation between people who have been in the field for a long time who have said they worked hard for that, when in fact what they did actually work hard for is the term EMT paramedic. It's not been very long since we were called just paramedics, so they really didn't have that in the first place, so it's not really being taken from them. But what would you say to the people who said, I've worked hard for this thing, this paramedic term, and now you're giving it to everyone?
I've had that question asked of me many, many times. And what I keep coming back to is the public needs a simple, easy way to reference us and to think about us. And it's not just the public, but it's the elected officials. I work with a lot of elected officials on state and federal legislation, and they want an easy term to be able to describe all of us so that they can put us into their legislation. So by calling us all paramedics, that's very similar to calling everybody from a CNA to a licensed practical nurse or a vocational nurse, registered nurse, advanced practice nurse. All of those titles go with the nursing profession. So the titles that we give ourselves also go with the paramedic profession. So we want to give people just one easy name for all of us. We can we can talk about what each of the different levels do internally. So we can use the reference of inside baseball. If you know the baseball game, you could talk about all the little strategies and how you're going to steal a base or not, and how you're going to do this or that in order to win the game. But for the people who don't know any better, it's just baseball. So the same thing for us. It's just paramedics, just paramedicine, and all the different skills and things that we do really become secondary, because we need to be focused on what the patients need, and the patients need paramedics.
Something that is becoming kind of a binary issue to people that are hearing about this, at least people in the field. And, you know, obviously it's important to have the support of the boots on the ground. And it seems like that you could just push forward this initiative with like-minded people who want to advance this. But I think that people who don't keep up with these sort of things, that don't keep up with different associations and legislations and proposals, that they can actually become a drag on that process if you don't have their support too. And a lot of people have kind of landed on this, you need to pay us more first. They don't want to hear about any changes until you show them the money. So what do you say to that?
Yeah, that's a very challenging question. And I still work on an ambulance. And so I'm always having to think about how to frame this in a way that it would get buy-in from street level providers who are looking at a long career in paramedicine. And the one thing that I think about that I think is kind of the selling point of the concept is what we do every day, all day long on an ambulance is transport people from one place to another. So if we think about paramedicine as just transportation, transporting from point A to point B, there's not a lot to that. In economics, you would call that a commodity. It's like a truck driver. It's like a taxi cab driver. It's something that you could pay a very small amount of money to somebody to do because it's a job that doesn't require a lot. Our jobs do require a lot because we do provide care and we do more than just transport, but we're only paid to transport. The future and what the other countries who have moved to this model have discovered is we need to be thinking about the healthcare system overall and the needs of our communities and of the patients.
We shouldn't be under the Department of Transportation.
Well, they're very focused on transportation, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so we really need to be thinking about our integration with the healthcare system, how we can help these people solve their problems without requiring all of them to go to the emergency room. This is something that we all as field providers have known for a long time, but we haven't had the tools and maybe the seat at the table to be able to address that. And that's one of the driving forces behind forming the American College of Paramedics, is to let us rally around this as a profession, use our knowledge and skills. We know what our communities need. We know what direction we need to be going. We're taking ownership of that, and we're going to drive our profession in that direction because that's what we need to do.
There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years over a advanced level paramedic that's actually provider level, kind of similar to what a nurse practitioner or a PA would be.
And we definitely see a need for that level. That is starting to be seen in the other countries. You mentioned the UK, where they have advanced practice paramedics, or what they would call consultant paramedics, that have graduate degrees. Some of them have prescribing capabilities because it's within their training and the type of patients that they see. Australia has now graduated their first clinical master's degree paramedics. And we need to have that here in the US too. And I think we see that with systems like Austin Travis County, where they have brought in PAs to fill that role. And it's my understanding that at least the first PAs they hired had previous experience as paramedics. And so they were able to kind of combine their paramedic experience along with their PA education to provide that level of care. That's the future. And Especially as we see more and more implementation of artificial intelligence and the tools with AI, that gives people a much broader scope of being able to support the needs of patients without either the needs to go to medical school to provide for every little element of care or to have lots of physicians involved in care so that where there's not enough physicians, you're not getting enough care.
So something else that you mentioned in the mission statement is about establishing a set of standards for EMS and for paramedics. The notion that you even have to mention that kind of acknowledges the fact that we are actually lacking in that. And we have kind of a low barrier for entry for getting into EMS. And, there's a method to that madness, and that's because we need butts in the seats. So when you talk about establishing a set of standards, obviously you have to talk about enforcing a set of standards. What does that actually do to the EMS workforce?
I would say that it actually elevates the EMS workforce. So one of the
But does
things
it
that
strain it?
I'm sorry.
But does it strain it? Because we're tightening the requirements now. I would imagine that if you have an established set of standards, that we're not going to have paramedics come in walking around with untied boots and uniforms lapping up on top of the boots with their shirts untucked and wearing t-shirts that say, "My job is to save your ass, not kiss it." So we want to filter these people out. So where are all these people coming from to fill these spots and to serve in all these corollary and peripheral capacities?
I believe that there are many of those, to use your words, like-minded people who have a shared vision for professional ethos for paramedics in the United States. And if you want to take a look at an example, look at Australia. They have implemented the bachelor's degree requirement for paramedics as an entry point and registration with their regulatory body in order to become a paramedic on a emergency ambulance in Australia. And they are graduating so many paramedics there that they can't even hire them all in the state ambulance services, which are the equivalent to our 911 ambulance systems, because it is attracting so many people to go to school to become paramedics. And they are having to ship them off to the United States, to the UK, to Canada, to other countries in order for them to find jobs because there are not enough in Australia. So,
One of the
most
problems
trusted
the
professions.
Australians, I want to interrupt you, but one of the problems one of the Australian states encountered last year was that their personnel were starting to resent the skill creep and the education creep that they were encountering. And there was actually a pretty large protest that occurred in that state last year. People were refusing to recert and were essentially making themselves default ambulance drivers until the state caved and implemented a system where they would make a considerable more amount of money. So it sounds like there is some skill creep that we're talking about here and increased educational requirements. So that kind of brings us back to what comes first, all of that or increasing pay? Or do we really just have to take a look at our entire healthcare paradigm and see how your goal and the mission of the American College of Paramedics fits into that?
Yeah, I think what we're probably going to be doing is a crawl, walk, run approach. This is going to be a lot of work where you need to establish the standards that you mentioned. That's going to involve a lot of people volunteering their time to attend meetings or be on committees, review documents, things like that. And we also need to inform the providers across the United States about the process. We need to inform them what a college is. It's not a school. It's a professional body. The difference between service delivery models and the profession of paramedicine, all those kinds of things we're going to need to educate people on, and that's going to take time. So we can do that at the same time as setting the standards, and at the same time as doing both of those, we can start working with different states to figure out the best way to implement this sort of scheme in combination with how the states function. This isn't going to replace any state offices of EMS, but what it will do is provide paramedics a voice and let paramedics set standards, high standards, for what paramedics are, do, what they will be in the future.
But and do those you standards think that are, paramedicine should be nationalized and that a little bit of that local control should be throttled?
The states have the regulatory authority over professions, and the federal government does not. So this may be the next best thing to having that kind of scheme, where nationally we can set a common standard where all paramedics meet this standard across the country, and those standards being higher than what any of the state standards are should make it easy for paramedics to move between states or to go to school in one state but end up working in another state, that sort of thing. The state boundaries become less of an issue because the standards are higher.
This is all taking place in the future. I think a lot of people think that next month we're going to be flipping a switch and that everyone's going to be called a paramedic. But what we're really doing is, or what you're proposing, is creating a working paradigm for paramedics 10 years from now that better serves them as a profession and better serves the community. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's going to take time. There are some states that have rules or legislation that says a paramedic is a national registry level paramedic and an EMT is a national registry EMT, that sort of thing. And so those kind of details are going to have to be worked out. Some states, you could still say you were a paramedic, even if you're an EMT, but other states, it would be against the law. So we need to work on the appropriate changes. Those kind of changes take time. It's not like going on a call and solving a problem in 10 minutes and you saved a life. This is something that takes 2, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe even longer. And we have 50 states to work through. That's part of what's probably the problem with the healthcare system is there are so many different schemes and regulatory things that are different from one state to another. And having a common approach makes that an easier conversation, hopefully, and will make it easier for states to adapt to changes. But there are still states that don't accept national registry. So we don't anticipate every single state following along as quickly as we would like. But with the effort that will happen at the ground level, we can make the changes. And once there's a tipping point, we're gonna see it take off across the country.
How can people get involved and support you? Because there's a lot of people asking me right now, even just how to find information. And you have press releases out there. And if people search for the American College of Paramedics online, it brings them to the website for the American Paramedic Association. So how can people keep up with this? How can they be a part of this process?
Yeah, what people have been doing actually is joining the American Paramedic Association. So going to AmericanParamedics.org, joining the association to give themselves a seat at the table, so to speak. And we have a mailing list that's being compiled there to allow us to communicate with the people that are specifically interested in the college and potentially might want to be to volunteer to help us to be on one of those committees or to be a part of the process of building the college right from the start, because the people that participate are the ones that are going to be making the decisions about what this all looks like. The things that I've been talking about are just really kind of my own personal vision of what I think this will look like. But ultimately, it's going to be up to the people who show up and are there and participate to make the final decisions about what that looks like. But we just wanted to get the process started. And instead of approaching everybody with a finished product saying, here's what you need to buy into, we are just getting the process started so that we can build what we want.
Well, Nick, I don't know if we saved the world today, but we may have saved it 10 years from now. Maybe we saved EMS 10 years from now. I appreciate you joining me, and I appreciate you filling in all these gaps and answering all these questions.